1959.
You can't play.
I can. You watch.
Nice shot.
1971.
Sulagong to serve. Quietly.
The ABC brings you the story of an icon.
I'm Roger Corley.
Yvonne Goolagong.
I know.
What the hell is going on?
You're here to play tennis.
Go, Gong!
While champions play the game.
She possesses a raw talent. That can't be taught.
Come on, Amy.
Legends change it.
First Aborigine to play on the centre court of Wimbledon.
Have you got what it takes to win this tournament?
Once you don't win.
That's what I'm here for.
Goolagong.
Don't let anyone tell you you're not good enough.
I won't.
Stream all the episodes now on ABC iView.
From Wurundjeri Country, I'm Lexi Junawick, and today on The Breakfast Wrap, the Prime Minister announces a federal royal commission into anti-Semitism and social cohesion in wake of the Bondi terror attack, relenting to a groundswell of calls for the national probe. We speak with Attorney General Michelle Rowland about how the inquiry will be structured.
We have taken time to get this right.
You'll also hear what this means to the Jewish community.
He did listen to the community and has come forward and provided this Royal Commission, which hopefully will be a point of healing and opportunity for the country to move forward in a good way.
Then we'll take you to Victoria, where the state is bracing for its most dangerous bushfire day since Black Summer.
Today is going to be very, very dark for our community, I suspect.
From the Radio National Breakfast team, this is The Breakfast Wrap. A national royal commission into anti-Semitism and social cohesion has been called by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese after weeks of pressure to establish a Commonwealth inquiry. Defending the U-turn, the Prime Minister said he came to the decision after discussions with the Jewish community and families of the victims of the Bondi terror attack. For more on what the national probe will entail and why now, host Barbara Miller spoke with Attorney General Michelle Rowland.
Anthony Albanese said he'd been listening to community views. They were very clear from the outset that a royal commission was what they wanted. In retrospect, was the government not listening carefully enough?
Well, I think the first point to make is, as the Prime Minister said, is that we have taken time to get this right. And the Prime Minister and the government have listened to people, particularly the Australian Jewish community. And that listening has not been about politics. It's about getting the right outcome for our national unity and our national security. And as the Prime Minister said, as he has spent the past 26 days or so listening to people, it is impossible not to be impacted. And listening to people privately in their lounge rooms, it's very clear that the voices of those who have impacted want to be heard. And this is the right outcome to achieve that.
Do you think an apology is warranted, that he didn't initially see the need for this?
Look, I think the Prime Minister's also made it clear that there are obviously a lot of views in the community about this. He has been listening to all of them, and he has been also very self-aware on many occasions to say that when people don't always get things right, it's important to listen and it's important to move forward. And the reason to move forward here is because of the importance of national security and social cohesion. And this is an opportunity not only for voices to be heard in the form of a royal commission, but also to take recommendations forward and also to continue the important work that the government has been doing in the last 4 weeks or so to ensure that our response to this prioritises national security and social cohesion in the long term.
The Home Affairs Minister had expressed concern that a royal commission would platform hate against Jewish Australians. Is that still a concern?
Well, it remains a concern not only in the broader community, but also in the context of ensuring that we have a royal commission that is effective, that has recommendations that are capable of implementation and actually makes improvements in the long term. And that is also recognised in the preamble itself, in the letters patent, that points to the necessity for the inquiry to not prejudice criminal proceedings, national security, or undermine social cohesion. So that is a very clear message to the Royal Commission, and the Royal Commissioner will receive this as part of the letters patent to make sure that whatever is done in this Royal Commission, she is acting independently in an impartial way, but also having regard to that very important need to ensure that not only are voices heard, but that social cohesion is maintained and promoted.
The federal opposition has been lobbying hard for a royal commission. The leader, Susan Lee, told AM that one of the tests we set was that ministers effectively be in the dock, asked questions and called to account. Is that how you see what's going to happen?
Well, the Royal Commission will conduct itself independently, and the Royal Commissioner, I have every confidence, will bring her vast expertise in these matters and ensure that this is done in a way that not only fulfills the terms of reference, but also does so in a way that gives the public confidence and ensures that this is not only a forum in which voices are heard, but that implementation and long-term change is promoted. And I think that those comments that you just referenced are simply endemic of an opposition that is simply playing politics with this issue. I think it is fair to say for your listeners who have been aware of this government's decision since yesterday that this is an important point in moving Australia forward with unity. It is not a time for partisan politics. It never has been. And that is something the Prime Minister has been very clear that he is not going to engage in. And I also would caution those who would seek to try and direct how they think the Royal Commissioner should operate or how this should run. They should be very careful in how they make those comments, because this is not only the highest form of inquisitorial process that's in this country, but it's also one that is widely respected. And again, we understand why people have been calling for it, because it is just that.
Are ministers going to be in the dock?
Well, again, this is a matter for the Royal Commissioner. Any way that she considers appropriate, and she will conduct her this Royal Commission independently. And of course, everyone is required to comply with those rules.
You remain committed to a separate review of intelligence agencies. That's the one to be conducted or being conducted by the former ASIO boss, Dennis Richardson. Can you just explain how that report, whose deadline is April, will feed into the Royal Commission?
Well, as agreed with the Commissioner, Dennis Richardson's work is going to become part of the Commission, and he will support its work with the delivery of his interim report by the Commission in April.
As the nation's chief law officer, how confident are you that this inquiry, the Federal Royal Commission, won't prejudice the trial of the accused surviving gunman?
Well, I have confidence, particularly in relation to two aspects. Firstly, the terms of reference make it very clear that there is a necessity not to prejudice current or future criminal proceedings, and the Commissioner will be very mindful of that. But secondly, the confidence I have in here arises from the choice of Commissioner. Virginia Bell is one of the most distinguished legal minds that this country has ever produced. She served on the highest court of our land, and she did so with impartiality and precision. She will bring that same quality in the work that she does. And having served on the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeal, her criminal law expertise will be vital in ensuring that this is undertaken in the most appropriate way.
Do you need to, because of that trial, impending trial, and because of national security concerns, do you need to prepare the Australian public that significant parts of the evidence that the Royal Commission hears may be suppressed?
I think that is premature to say at this stage. The Royal Commissioner will make decisions in that regard.
Attorney General Michelle Rowland there. I'm going to take you now to some reaction to the Bondi Royal Commission, and first to Rabbi of Newtown Synagogue, Ellie Feldman. He's part of the Chabad community, which was targeted in the Bondi attack, and he was also a close friend of Rabbi Ellie Schlanger, who was killed at Bondi. Barbara asked Rabbi Feldman what the initial response has been from the community to the announcement of this national probe.
I think there's concern, trepidation, but also relief and hope. that something positive is going to come out of this moving forward.
The Prime Minister said that he listened to the community. Were you among those making representations that you wanted to see this Royal Commission?
I mean, I think that there was the Jewish community was pretty clear across the board that this is something that was wanted, and the Prime Minister heard that from a number of different directions. And I think that, as he said yesterday in the press conference, he did listen to the community and he's come forward and provided this Royal Commission, which hopefully will be a point of healing and opportunity for the country to move forward in a good way.
Does his statement that he was listening justify the delay in announcing the Royal Commission?
I think that it's less, as a Jewish community leader, I'm less focused on, looking at how we got here, but more focused on what are we going to do moving forward. And I think that the fact that it has been called, the fact that this gives an opportunity to really scrutinise what's happened and then allow steps to be put in place to ensure that it doesn't happen again. I think that's really the focus, and that's something that the Jewish community are looking forward to.
And do you have any specific questions that you would like the inquiry to look into?
Well, I think that the Prime Minister outlined it yesterday at his press conference. He spoke about, it's anti-Semitism, but it's also social cohesion. And he spoke about light and dark. I think that's a very important point because, there's two aspects to how to remedy this moving forward. The first aspect is fighting the darkness, eradicating the anti-Semitism, those factors, the radicalization, the demonization, all those things that have brought us to the point where, unfortunately, 15 people were murdered, including, as you said, friends of mine. So I think that's step number one, is to fight the darkness. But ultimately, the most powerful way to fight darkness is with light. And as the Prime Minister said yesterday, the focus of the Royal Commission is not just about getting rid of anti-Semitism, but also about promoting social cohesion and unity and love and kindness within our community and creating the type of society where these acts of darkness cannot happen. And I think that the light that Australia is looking for is in two aspects. There's the light of truth, which the Royal Commission will do. We'll shine a light of truth as to the steps that happened moving towards this particular terrible attack, how the environment that was around what happened, and as the head of ASIO was saying, the temperature that had risen to the point where this terrible thing could happen. But in addition to the light of truth, there's also the light of kindness and the light of love and the light of positivity, which needs to combat that darkness. Those two terrorists, those two messengers of darkness who came the other day to Bondi Beach and wreaked havoc and destroyed lives. The way to combat that is with messengers of light. And I think the community understands that. The community stepped up. The New South Wales government launched a campaign, a mitzvah campaign, which is, mitzvah is a Hebrew word for good deeds. And the idea basically is encouraging all citizens in our country. And that campaign's being supported by the Prime Minister himself. He posted it on his Twitter feed, the Governor General. Encouraging all Australians to step up and do good deeds, which many have. I mean, the lines outside the opportunity for people to donate blood and people getting up and supporting the victims and their families, all those types of acts of goodness and kindness is really the antidote to all that darkness.
Rabbi of Newtown Synagogue, Ellie Feldman there. And for the federal opposition's response to this Royal Commission, Barbara spoke with James Patterson, who's the Shadow Minister for Finance, the Public Service and Government Services.
Well, we certainly welcome the fact that the Prime Minister has finally listened to the families of the victims of the Bondi attack, to the Jewish community and so many eminent Australians across so many fields. But we are disappointed that it's taken so long and such an effort to get the Prime Minister to finally act. I mean, it's been 25 days since Bondi, and for most of that time, the Jewish community has been crying out for a Royal Commission. And for most of that time, the Prime Minister and his ministers have been making baseless and sometimes sometimes offensive arguments against why a royal commission should be held, essentially saying it would be dangerous and irresponsible to hold a royal commission. So the backflip and the concession made by the Prime Minister is welcome, but I know that many in the Jewish community and many families of those victims feel exhausted and devastated that they had to fight their own government for almost a month to get the bare minimum action that they were and every Australian is entitled to.
Is it time, though, to put that all behind us, as it were, and should you now move forward more in a spirit of unity?
Well, we certainly want the Royal Commission to succeed. It's critically important that it succeed, and it must be independent, it must be wide-ranging, and it must be well-resourced, because we must get to the bottom of how anti-Semitism was allowed to flourish in our country with such devastating consequences. Because there have been warnings from the Jewish community, from intelligence and security experts, and from the opposition for the last 2.5 years that the government wasn't taking this threat seriously enough, and it has ended in the most tragic way imaginable. We must make sure that never happens again. So we wish Commissioner Bell all the best for this Royal Commission, and we will do everything we can to support its success.
Does she have your confidence?
It's not up to me to comment on individuals like Commissioner Bell. She's obviously a very eminent former jurist, and she's now been chosen by the government. I think it's important that the government demonstrate that they consulted widely and that they had the support of the Jewish community in that appointment. But she's now been appointed to that role, and we wish her well.
Well, you say it's not up to you to comment. I mean, we had your colleague John O'Dunham on the show yesterday, certainly parsing comments about her.
Well, we certainly want her to succeed, and she's been appointed by the government now. And now that she's been appointed, I think the only thing every Australian will do is wish her well in the task and hope that she gets to the bottom of this toxic cancer in our society, which has been allowed to fester. It's festered in the arts, it's festered in universities, it's festered in the media, it's festered in the community, in some religious communities particularly. And it's not in our interest for this to continue in our country. And we hope the commissioner gets to the bottom of it and recommends actions that the government can now take to address it.
James Patterson, Shadow Minister for Finance, the Public Service and Government Services. And that was just a little taste of Barbara's interview with Senator Patterson. The full version is available through the ABC Listen app or the ABC Radio National Breakfast website. In other news, Australia's heatwave is entering its third day, with conditions worsening in Victoria today. Emergency chiefs have warned of a potential bushfire disaster, with catastrophic fire danger warnings in place. Two major bushfires are already burning, including one in central Victoria at Longwood that's already claimed livestock and multiple structures. For more, Barbara spoke with Acting Mayor of Strathbogie Shire, Claire Ewart-Kennedy, who's also leading the fire response locally.
Give us a sense of the current conditions there this morning.
I wish I could say that it's. I'm coming to you with good news. I'm not. Today is going to be very, very dark for our community, I suspect. I hope the conditions are better than what is forecast. We had significant damage to essential infrastructure overnight. We've got gaps in power, telecommunications and drinking water in various areas. We're at crisis level. We don't need lip service. We need emergency funding announced now, today.
Do you think not enough? The response hasn't been swift enough?
No. And we should have learnt more from the Grampians fire, the Black Saturday fires, and I think we have learned a lot of tools on the ground, but unfortunately what we learnt is you actually need to provide assistance and emergency funding as soon as something like this happens. This is catastrophic. It has affected particularly the towns and regions of Longwood and Ruffey. Ruffey has been decimated. The CFA captain up there, George Noy, he's led that brigade beautifully with so many other people. I have got to say, our country would not be what it is without the volunteers like people like that. What they do is not heroic, it's beyond that. I don't know what the word is for it, but it's incredible. And I just want to shout out all personally to those people around there, all the communities that are donating things. I spent yesterday at the Seymour Relief Centre. I'm about to go back there today. There's two relief centres, one in Seymour, one in Mansfield. If you have left it too late to leave, do not try and leave. But if you haven't, leave and head to Seymour if you're on that side, or Mansfield. You can take your pets. There's a ranger there. They'll sort it out. We just want people to be safe. We can rebuild buildings. We cannot rebuild people.
I just want to bring you back to your criticisms of the response. What exactly is it that you feel should have been offered by now, and what do you need?
So this fire's like more. It started off at 2,500 hectares. I'm not even going to try and pretend I know how many hectares it is now. It's impacted various businesses. Homes have been lost. When it gets to that stage, and the forecast is for it to get worse, we need to have platforms in place that people who are displaced, livestock that has been injured, are being dealt with. And last night at the community meeting, I could see that that is not happening. We're doing what we can at our level, but we need the state and the federal government to talk to each other and sign off on funding this morning. Emergency hardship funding is crucial to these communities getting back to where they need to be and prospering, not just surviving a fire. That's not good enough.
Acting Mayor of Strathbogie Shire, Claire Ewart-Kennedy. And you can stay across the latest emergency warnings for your area through your local ABC radio station. Turning overseas now, there's an eerie sense of deja vu in the US city of Minneapolis. Once again, spontaneous protests are breaking out over the death of one of its residents at the hands of a law enforcement officer. This time, it's Renee Nicole Good, shot dead by an officer from ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. The 37-year-old mother of a young child died less than 2 kilometres from where, in 2020, George Floyd was murdered by a police officer. The circumstances leading to the fatal shooting of Ms. Good are under investigation, but are already the subject of a bitter dispute between the Trump administration and the Democratic-led state of Minnesota. Madeline Lohman is Director for Advocacy and Outreach at the Advocates for Human Rights in Minneapolis. Barbara spoke with her.
What do we know about Renee Nicole Good, the woman who was shot dead?
We don't know a lot at this point. We're hearing a couple different things. One is that she may have been someone who was participating in some of the neighborhood groups that are watching ICE agents, but there's been other suggestions that she, in fact, was just a woman in the wrong place at the wrong time, not politically engaged, and was trying to leave the scene at the time that she was killed.
Now, differing narratives about what happened emerged almost immediately after the incident. We've got President Trump and his Homeland Security Secretary, Kristi Noem, claiming that Ms. Good had attempted to run over an ICE agent with her car. That's been strongly disputed by local officials there in Minneapolis, including the mayor. We've just heard the Vice President, J.D. Vance, at a White House press briefing lash out at Minnesota's governor and the media over the incident. What's your read of what eyewitnesses are saying?
So eyewitnesses and the video evidence seems pretty consistent that Renee Good was not attempting to run over the agent. She's not accelerating particularly quickly. She is trying to leave the scene. The agent has sort of run around to the front of her car and put himself in a position in which he is at risk. And there is not evidence that she was attempting to harm him. As far as I can see, that's what the eyewitness accounts in the videos seem to be pretty consistent.
There is one video, isn't there, that apparently possibly shows some contact between the car and the officer. Do you think it's that footage that's fueling this bitter dispute about what happened?
No, I think the bitter dispute is being fueled because the Trump administration has a political agenda in which they want to characterize their opponents as terrorists or as people who are acting inappropriately or dangerously, and therefore justify their really extreme and dangerous use of force that they're deploying here in Minneapolis. So I don't think that they're actually making any of these claims based on evidence. They're making these claims based on a political priority.
Now, JD Vance, the vice president, is certainly not trying to bring down the temperature. At that White House briefing, he said this was classic terrorism. He said Ms. Good had been brainwashed by left-wing ideology. At the same time, we've got the Democratic governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, saying, I feel your anger. I'm angry. They want a show. We can't give it to them. And the way we do that is using violence. How much do you think people will heed those words from Governor Walz?
From what I've seen so far, the people who are out on the streets who are protesting this action are engaging in nonviolent response and not attempting to, you know, engage in property damage or, you know, serious physical assaults on federal agents. You know, might start shoving them, and that might lead to some pushing back and forth, but nothing that would be anywhere remotely near terrorism or violent response. So I think that one of the lessons learned in the aftermath of George Floyd is that protesters, demonstrators should have pretty strict understanding of how to stay nonviolent. They should be aware if someone's there trying to provoke them. And I think that we're hopefully going to see that maintain over the next several days.
Madeline Lohman, Director for Advocacy and Outreach at the Advocates for Human Rights in Minneapolis. Well, that's about all we've got time for on The Breakfast Wrap today. Every interview was presented by Barbara Miller and produced by the Radio National Breakfast Team. I'm Lexi Junawick. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back with The Wrap the same time next week. Stay safe.